Craig Blanos joins us, the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. What do you read in the tea leaves on these jobs numbers, Craig?
Oh, my gosh. We're still living in the upside-down world, John. Good news is bad news. Bad news is good news. And is the glass half full or is it half empty? I actually think it is half full. Yes, I dare say that. Sure, there's going to be some form of a recession in early next year. Sure, the Fed's going to have to continue to tighten, but I don't know that today's data actually moved the needle significantly one way or the other. All eyes are on December 13th for that big CPI release.
Do you think this will affect the December Fed movement or action?
No, yeah, I mean, obviously the futures have moved up marginally, as has this concept of terminal Fed funds rates, where we're going to end up. But I don't think at the end of the day it's significant material. We had the big testimony from JP, Jerome Powell, that came on Wednesday, ushered in a very significant stock market rally as everyone got excited about the potential Fed pivot. And then all of a sudden you have a hot, hot, hot payroll number. So is the soft landing still possible? Well, it's certainly not probable, but it's definitely possible when you have this much economic strength. Apparently, the consumer is not dead, and maybe, just maybe, all the Amazon trucks in my neighborhood are proof that I should have been invested in corrugated cardboard years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the market notwithstanding, more jobs is more jobs, right? I mean, that's people working. That's people earning income, correct?
Yes, people earning money that they can then spend on goods and services. Last time I checked, is long-term good, because our country runs on the backs of consumers. It's you and I spending money on M&E, meal and entertainment, travel and leisure, and buying useless, needless things that we don't need. That's what America is based on to some degree, at least economically. So that part's good news. But don't get me wrong. We all know that this is a story of inflation, and when the labor market is this tight, it naturally pushes up wages, which in turn naturally supports prices and keeps them elevated. And I just think it means interest rates will be higher for longer. Inflation will continue to come down, but it's going to remain elevated all through 2023.
So talk about that CPI number that you referenced a minute ago.
Well, I don't know about you, but didn't you pinch yourself when we finally got some relief in October? I celebrated. I blew out some candles on a birthday cake, even though my birthday's in January, because I said, thank heavens, the data's finally coming down. And my suspicion is this, John. I do believe inflation has peaked. I do believe inflation is declining, but I also know that no one believes it yet, because when I go to the food store, well, I know it. The prices aren't that low. But, John, I'm coming to you live, not from Chicago, across the border in Wisconsin, and I couldn't believe how cheap the gas prices were when I came across the border. I only wish I could have filled up my truck twice, not once. So I do think the CPI data release will show that we'll have a second back-to-back month of lower inflation.
Yeah, we'll pick it up here in a minute with Craig Blanos. He is the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. I was going to mention gas prices. I'll throw a number at you from this side of the cheddar curtain in just a minute. Okay, Craig Blanos is joining us to talk just a minute ago on the Wintrust Business Lunch about gas prices. Craig is the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. What did you pay in Wisconsin for gas? Do you recall, Craig?
I recall. I took a photo and sent it to everybody I know. I paid $2.97 for unleaded. That's the first time I've seen under three in quite a long ways.
Okay, well then that takes the air out of my revelation. I was going to brag about paying $3.43 in Bolingbrook yesterday, and I was happy to pay $3.43. That looked pretty low to me. I don't know what it was over there lately, but gas prices are coming down. So is that going to draw prices down across the board? They're as low now nationally as they've been in a while.
Yeah, they're as low as they've been nationally. And, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on with oil, too. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm happy the prices are finally resetting. It's giving everybody some relief because we're still waiting for the food prices to come. I'm also still waiting for somebody to start refilling the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, because I'm a little antsy that we have as little in the SPR as we did back in 1984. And last time I checked, we actually consume more oil now today in 2022 than we did in 1984, so we need to get that moving. But I think it's proof, again, that sure, there is some decline in demand overseas that's helping to drive prices lower, but the fact is peak inflation happened this summer, and we're gradually working our way back down. Just takes time.
Is there an area in the markets that you like? I think everybody seemed to like financials lately. Is there a place that you are telling people to put money?
I think everybody has a love affair with what I call the value side of the ledger. And I want people to be very considerate, being measured and intentional. And sure, for those who are in energy, you should be sticking with energy still, even though we're talking about prices coming down. It's an incredibly good story. Healthcare, of course, has been a favorite for many this year. I think that makes sense. John, you mentioned the financials, the big impact, the big benefit that NIM, net interest margin, is having on all the banks that are out there, the deposit base, that's certainly good. But I think the thematic for everybody is really focusing on quality and paying attention to valuation. And when I say valuation, that doesn't mean people need to run from technology. I think people need to be patient with technology, but everybody can take a lesson from what we learned. Companies that are only valued on price to sales versus companies that are valued the old-fashioned way, price to earnings. When you get too far from traditional metrics, you eventually get taken out to the burn pile and the wood chipper, and that's happened in some areas of the technology world, and that stuff's just not coming back.
Where are you on the FANGs, the Facebooks and the Twitters and all of them?
Well, you know, for Facebook, what you and I call Meta, you know, the actual stock, I'm not sure where that's going. You know, certainly the pain has been massive, and I'm not sure that I was looking forward to living in Wally World and working in a virtual society for my work, my entertainment, and everything else. We're going to have to see how that trades. But I think that's a good example, again, about valuations. You know, when you mention the FANG stocks, I think about the supply chains in Apple. I think the most underreported story of the entire year, by the way, has been China's closure of those 76 cities, the 402 million people that couldn't go to work this past spring, and the fact that we're still dealing with zero COVID policies in China has far-reaching effects in terms of supply chain for some of those big technology companies that you mentioned. And we can't have economic recovery in the United States, unfortunately, up until we get China reopen and growing again. That's just a reality for all of us.
So you think we've got a supply chain 2.0 issue coming, or are we managing with it right now?
No, I think we're managing through it. The problem is I'm getting tired and a little lethargic of managing through it. I mean, last time I drove past the Chevy dealer after I put my $2.97 a gallon into my truck, I said, wait a second, why is the Chevy dealer only selling Hyundais? I thought they'd have Chevys by now. And I look at that and I say, how come? Simple. We don't do the electrical harnessing and basic circuit board work in the United States, but I think the events of 2020, 2021, and 2022 have led to an interesting theme, which is we've probably moved back into a period of deglobalization where there are going to be so many countries looking to get into public and private ventures to shore up their supply chains because no one wants to go through this disruption again and be powerless.
I got an email from somebody or text message, was it this week, and they got their new vehicle, but it doesn't have heated seats, and it might have even been navigation. There were two, you know, principal things that this vehicle was supposed to have. It might have even been three. And the guy's driving the car or SUV, but he's just going to wait until those chips come in.
I don't even know how to react to that. I mean, the low point of the year is when my brother-in-law got his new car and he had to crank the window up and down. He couldn't figure it out at the toll plaza because he didn't have iPass.
I'm sorry to hear that. Any last words of wisdom? What else are you looking at then? You mentioned the CPI in December. What else is on your radar?
Yeah, the biggest events right now for everybody to lean in is take a look at that CPI release on December 13th. Obviously, we've got the final Fed meeting of the year, the 13th and 14th. And then away from that, I think all investors should continue to focus on a U.S.-based portfolio, taking a balanced approach between value and growth, and going into the end of the year, pay attention to that asset allocation, diversification, rebalancing and security selection protocols. And above all else, John, I don't know. I'm focused on true wealth for me, which is everything that money can't buy and death can't take away. That's what I'll be thinking about this holiday season.
Well, I wish you that kind of wealth, too. Happy holidays to you, Craig. Thanks for visiting with us, and we'll talk again.
Thanks, John.
Craig Bolanos is the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. The guy has a way with words. His website is investwithwmg.com. John Williams here. By the way, the deadline to sign up for Medicare is right around the corner. If you've got a question about that, 312-981-7200. In a few minutes, we'll visit with Matt Ferrett, the Medicare expert. But right now, Lisa Shade gets a turn, the co-founder and vice president of Breadwell, which is a company that I believe custom makes meals for your pets, your dogs. Hey, Lisa, you're on WGN. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me. How are you, John?
I'm real good. Tell us what you do.
All right. So you got it right. Breadwell is a company that makes custom meals for dogs. You tell us a little bit about your dog. You know what they like. You make some selections, and we build a meal that's nutritionally complete that your dog will enjoy.
So are you using human food, or what kind of food do you put in there? What are the options?
Yes. So we have a meal system, if you will. You make three choices. So first you select from one of our customized Breadwell bits. These are made just for us. These are crunchy kibbles that contain all of the nutrition and vitamins and minerals that your dog, you know, is required to have on a daily basis. We have four of those customized made just for us. We have an adult, an active, a senior, and a healthy weight version. So you pick one of those. Then you pick from one of our four restaurant-grade proteins. We have beef, pork, chicken, and salmon right now, but we'll be, you know, moving those around based on the feedback that we get. And then finally, you pick a garnish. So we have right now peas, carrots, and bell peppers, fresh green apples, blueberries, and dried cranberries, and then the far and away most popular garnish is bacon and cheese.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, so once you pick all those out and you tell us a little bit about your dog, we portion that out so we know that your dog is getting the caloric requirements and the nutritional requirements that are required for that day.
Do you remember the recipe dog food that Lassie used to eat or something like that? Looked like a can of stew, and it would have beef and carrots and peas in there, and we would give it to our Shetland sheepdog, our Sheltie, Lancelot of Camelot was Lance's name. Anyway, so we would put the can of food in there and stir it up a little bit, and he would eat everything, and when he was done, a single pea would be sitting there on the bottom of the bowl. I say all of that to just say I noticed that you're going to include peas and carrots. I wonder if the dogs want the peas and carrots.
Well, some you know, it's all about personal preference. So some dogs like vegetables, some dogs like, you know, the fresh fruit, and some don't. So it's based on, you know, for example, if you came in and made a meal for Sir Lancelot, we probably wouldn't want to pick peas and carrots if he's leaving peas in his bowl.
Yeah.
So you would pick what you think your dog's going to enjoy the most.
So I go in and prepare the meal, the dog food, if you will, myself?
No, actually, you come and visit us in our store. Tell us a little bit about your dog, and then, you know, it's like a Chipotle line or a sandwich line, and you go down the line and make your selection. Someone behind the counter portions this all out for you and gives it to you in a take-home bowl.
How are you able to?
You don't have to do any work except for just telling us, you know, about your dog and what you think they might like.
Well, what's the shelf life of this food if you're using, you said, restaurant-grade meats?
Correct. So we recommend that you take that home if you're not feeding your dog right away, that you keep it in the refrigerator, and you can keep it in the refrigerator for up to 3 days. It will stay fresh.
Oh.
Anything beyond that, you should probably come back and visit us.
So how do people use it then? Is it a treat for the dog, or are they going to come in every few days?
So we've seen a little bit of both. So we've been open for a little over 2 weeks now. Some people are coming in and trying it for the first time. seeing if their dog likes it, you know, using it, especially around Thanksgiving. We had a lot of people coming in and getting a meal for their dog. So their dog would have a Thanksgiving meal, just like how the people were celebrating. The dog could have a little something special. And we've gotten a number of repeat customers as well. So it's becoming, for some people, more of a rate. This is how I feed my dog every day versus just a treat for a special occasion.
I guess you can't mass produce this in bags and put it in Petco's because it's fresh food. I guess if it was refrigerated, it's an intriguing idea. But I would like to imagine a scenario where you could, you know, mass produce it and people could stockpile it rather than having to go back and forth. It would seem to me like that would be somewhat limiting for you.
Yes. So our store, you know, is our store. It's an experience. It's a way for you to come in and really kind of, you know, bring your dog and have that experience together. We also sell our meals online at www.breadwell.com, and we sell them in 14-day subscriptions. So when we do that, we ship the fresh meat and garnishes that you've picked. Those are frozen, shipped frozen, and when you get them, if you put them in your freezer, those will keep for a longer period of time, and then you just thaw them, you know, the day before you're going to feed your dog. So we are able to, you know, do a higher volume and, you know, have people stockpile, as you would say, but, you know, they have a longer day supply, so they don't have to, you know, worry about, am I going to be near the store? I'm running out of food. I need to go to the store. So it's a little bit easier for both the people and the dogs.
Lisa Shade's on a phone line, the co-founder and vice president of Breadwell, where they custom make meals for your dogs. What's the most popular combination? The kibble, the basic nutrients, but what else then? What are the other two ingredients that people are picking the most?
Yeah, so, you know, we have four proteins. Beef seems to be our most popular protein. That seems to be what most dogs are wanting. And then, like I said, almost everyone, I would say 95% of the meals we have sold have selected the bacon and cheese garnish on the top.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's because the owners are picking it off and eating it themselves.
maybe.
Lisa, where are you located? Where's your store?
We are in downtown Barrington, and we are located at 140 South Cook Street. So we're right in this cute little retail area at the corner of Cook and Station Street, and we are open every day of the week except for Monday from 11 to 7.
Breadwell.com, B-R-E-D, Breadwell, B-R-E-D-W-E-L-L, Breadwell.com. Lisa Shade, the co-founder and vice president of Breadwell. If Daisy, our current dog, the Dizzy Dapple Dachshund, is listening, I know she's licking her chops right now. What a good idea, Lisa. Good luck to you on all this.
Thank you so much, and bring Daisy in. We'd love to make her a meal so she can try it.
More business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Economist and former Obama advisor Austin Goolsbee has been appointed new president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. He'll start in January and will begin voting next year on Fed policy matters, including rate decisions. Goolsbee is currently a professor of economics at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. He replaces Charles Evans, who's retiring after 15 years as Chicago Fed president. Goolsbee served on the Obama administration's Council of Economic Advisors in 2010 and 2011. Chicago-based McDonald's is testing a new small-format location in Texas that includes new technology. It's considerably smaller than the traditional restaurant and is designed for customers ordering on the go. It has updated ordering kiosks and specific space for food delivery services picking up orders. There are delivery driver parking spots and curbside pickup areas. The new location also has an order-ahead car lane for people who've placed orders on the McDonald's app. The food is delivered to those customers on conveyor belts. The new tech should help McDonald's speed up drive-through delivery service. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of food. Here is Steve Alexander.
Yeah, here we go. This is going to be fun. A bonus Mr. Fizz Friday with a little help from Clark Griswold and his family. All brought to you by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, Mr. Fizz wanted to jump on and talk about Christmas trees. And here's Clark Griswold unbinding their freshly cut tree.
Ready? I give you the Griswold family Christmas tree.
A lot of sap in here. Looks great. Little full.
Chevy Chase's adventures in Christmas Vacation are not the best way to go about this. First of all, when you're going to get your tree, you want it to fit, not like they did with that 10-foot tree in an 8-foot house. You need to measure your space for the right size of tree, not just the height, but the spread, too. Where to get the tree is important. There are neighborhood lots, and a lot of them have been around for many years. You want to make sure if the trees are fresh, because some places they get the trees in the beginning of October, and they kind of sit around. And of course, if you go to a tree farm and cut your own, you know they're going to be fresh.
Dad, did you bring a saw?
But most of the tree farms, they have saws available for you. You need to decide what's the best kind of tree to get. Pines, the Scotch and white pine. The Scotch pine keeps wonderful form. It's hard to hang ornaments on it because the branches are so stiff and it has long needles. The white pines work very well, but they're kind of floppy. Same thing with Douglas firs. They're kind of floppy, although they'll last forever. Now, Fraser firs are the Cadillacs of the ones that are available, and a lot of our local growers are growing them as well. Getting the tree home, it's important if you're going to put it on top of your vehicle and you're going to go any distance that you cover it, because you're going to dry it out, and that will significantly reduce the lifespan on the thing. When you get the tree home, the first thing you need to do is cut off about an inch of the base. So when you put it in water, it'll pick up water right away. So be sure that you do put it in water right away, whether you're going to set it up right away or not. But make sure that it's in water from the time you get your hands on it.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell. From the farm to your belly, today's National Fritters Day, and tomorrow's National Peppermint Latte Day, if you need an excuse. That's your money on 720 WGN.
Matt Ferret is the Medicare expert and author. Prepare for Medicare, the insider's guide to buying Medicare insurance. He joined us a couple of weeks ago. Here he is again. Welcome back, Matt.
Thanks for having me, John.
What's the deadline? Is it the 6th or the 7th? When do we have to have this done by?
Oh, well, you got it the last time. It's December 7th. That's the last day you can make changes to your Medicare coverage for 2023.
If I already have Medicare and I'm satisfied, do I have to do anything or should I do something?
Well, if you're satisfied with your plan or the satisfied with the company you're with, that's one thing. But I always urge everybody to still take a peek at what the benefits are going to be like in 2023, because while you might like your premium, those things can change. You might like the way your prescription drugs are covered. Well, those formularies can change. Sometimes your drug can fall off the formulary in the next year, and sometimes it can move up in tiers and cost you more. So even though you might say, well, I'm satisfied and I like it, you still want to go through your plan documentation that you got in the beginning of October to make sure those changes aren't really going to affect your day-to-day use of your Medicare coverage.
Does that happen often where the prices change or the plan changes?
It does. It happens every year. These Medicare Advantage plans and the Medicare Part D prescription drug plans are on an annual contract basis. The insurance companies file these plans for 1 year, which means they can change every year. And so they do. They change all the time. The premiums go up. The premiums go down. The copays go up. They go down. The drugs go in. They go out. It really does change every year, and sometimes even in the middle of the year. So unfortunately, also what can happen is doctors' offices and hospitals can go in and out of network even during the beginning of in the middle of the year. So you definitely want to check that.
What about the people that are just getting Medicare for the first time? What's your advice for them?
Well, it's really, and I outline this in my book, there's three different ways you can consume Medicare if you're just now or going to be aging into Medicare, as we say, or turning 65 or working past 65 and coming off your employer's plan. There's three ways to consume it. One is to use your original Medicare red, white, and blue card for Medicare Part A and Part B for your medical, and then you buy a prescription drug plan or a PDP on top of it. The next way of doing is version two is doing the exact same thing, but then buying a Medigap or a Medicare supplement to kind of cover those gaps and things that original Medicare doesn't cover in original Medicare Part A and B. And then the last version is this kind of all-in-one plan combo. It's Medicare Part C, which is also more commonly known as Medicare Advantage. So the pros and cons are, there are a lot of them. I mean, it really depends on how you want to consume your Medicare. Do you like to pay more up front for the safety of knowing most of it's paid for if you use it? Or would you rather, have a concept of self-insure and have a lower premium but pay more out of pocket when you actually use it? So I take you through that all in my book. it really comes down to the personal choice of how you like to consume your health care.
And that may depend on how healthy you are or think you're going to be. If I sign up for one program, which maybe has a higher upfront cost because I think I'm not going to use it that much, but then later on, my health starts to deteriorate, can I switch from one kind of coverage to another?
Not all the time. No, you can't. And some of these rules are state-based. And so if you, you know, have, you know, I always recommend when people say, like, hey, I've had cancer, or I had cancer in my 50s, and it may reoccur, or I've got a family history that people get, you know, sick or, you know, congestive heart failure, I would say, you know, if you're thinking about this, you should probably look at a pretty comprehensive plan. I know Medicare supplements or Plan Gs are the most comprehensive medical ones you can buy. They come with a hefty premium. And normally when you buy a Medicare policy or a Medicare supplement, there are only certain amounts of certain other times of the of your life where you can get it without that medical underwriting. On the Medicare Advantage plan, you can actually switch every year. And so if you're 67 and you have a Medicare Advantage plan that isn't meeting your needs and you want to switch it for the next year, you can do that during this time frame we're in right now, the AEP, which ends on the 7th.
Mm-hmm. Janet, you're on WGN. What's your question? Hi. Hi, Janet. You're on the air. What was your question? Yeah, hold on. Let's try one more time. Hey, Janet.
Price, should this pay out of network? How does that work?
Start again, Janet. We missed the first part of your question. What did you want to say?
Okay. I'm helping my sister navigate. She chose a Medicare Advantage plan, and now she found out her doctors are not part of it. And they told her, well, that's okay. We can still service you. You'll just pay out of network. So is she going to pay that doctor's full price, or is there still somewhat of a savings?
Okay. Let me put you on hold, and we'll let him give us a starter answer to that. Matt, go ahead.
Sure. Hi, Janet. Thanks for the question. So it really kind of depends on what type of Medicare Advantage plan your sister has. So if she has a Medicare Advantage plan that's an HMO and the doctor is out of network, then you should really anticipate paying that full doctor's charges. If your sister is on a Medicare Advantage PPO, those come with out-of-network benefits. They're just not as good as in-network benefits. So that's one of those advantages of the PPO, is that there is some coverage out-of-network, but not as much as if your sister had stayed in-network. So on the other hand, this is the time to look for a Medicare Advantage plan for next year, 2023, where her doctors are in the network. So you don't have that exposure out-of-pocket and out-of-network.
Questions like this, thanks, Janet. That's a good start. Questions like this are answered in Matt Ferrett's book. You can find The Insider's Guide to Buying Medicare Insurance at bookstores, online. You can click on prepareformedicare.com, prepareformedicare.com. All right, Matt, nice to talk to you. Thanks for the help today.
Thank you.